Well, it's kind of interesting in God's providence that we are here and they're sharing about their mission trip. And this morning, the Howmans were here sharing about their mission work. And some of what Oliver does overlaps in some ways with physical therapy. And while we're talking here, Cliff and Sue Peppers are serving the Lord also in a very similar ministry overseas in the Middle East, helping with Wheels for the World and wheelchairs and ultimately helping people understand a theology of disability and God's heart and the heart of Christ. And so I wanted to kind of, as I talk about my trip to Congo, talk a little bit about this concept of the ministry of compassion and the message of Christ. Here's a prophecy of Christ in Psalm 72. He will have compassion on the poor and needy. Let's read this out loud together. The afflicted also, and him who has no helper, will be precious in his sight. Let all nations call him blessed. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And so this is Christ. This is speaking of Christ, his compassion for those who are needy, those who have no helper. And ultimately, not only are they precious in his sight, but this is an avenue through which God can call people from the nations to himself so that they would call him blessed, so that the whole earth would be filled more and more with his glory. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, let's read this out loud together. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Beseech means to earnestly, to ask for there's a great need out there. That the fields are ripe unto harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but we need to pray earnestly that the Lord would send laborers. And there's a lot of different ways that laboring can look. It's not just people like myself and the trip that I went at more of a teaching trip. There's also lots of ways that people can labor for the Lord and bring the gospel to people. But this is an important thing. As Jesus sees the world before him, he sees these people who are dispirited, these people who are distressed, these people who need a shepherd. And it's the Lord is moved with compassion for them, and we need to be moved with compassion for them. Let's read these last two together. Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And then the next one, Luke 14, says, "Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And so we see these threads of the ministry of compassion and the message of Christ. And then this is for all Christians. Let's read this together. Colossians 3 and 4. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, praying at the same time that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace." And so this is for all of us. Whether we go down to Mexico, whether we ever go across the ocean, we need to be putting on a heart of compassion. And as we do that, in whatever way that we're seeking to be compassionate, praying that God would use that to open up a door so that we can speak of the word of Christ, that we can speak of Christ, and that we would be clear, we would make it clear as we ought to speak, that we'd be wise, that we'd be thinking of ways that we can reach outsiders. That means those who are not yet a part of the church, making the most of every opportunity. It says, let your speech always be with grace. If you're speaking graciously and differently than the rest of the world, that can open up doors in any culture, in any community. And so I want to talk a little bit as we pray this evening. We're going to have kind of a prayer focus, and I want to talk about where Pastor Cliff and Sue are, and since we're recording this, I'll just show you the slide up there that shows where they are, but this is from this past week. Here's Pastor Cliff talking to a young lady there who has spina bifida, which is, as you know, there was their own family with Jared. That was what their son, they walked that journey with their son. And you can just, I love this picture here. You can just see Pastor Cliff in his element. You see him expressing, talking with this dear lady. And then this is some of the people from this past, just a few days ago, maybe 3 days ago. You can see some of the different people in the room. Some of these people, if I understand right, they're teaching and training some of them on how to minister to those with special needs. And they're also going to be this next week very much involved with Wheels for the World as wheelchairs come, fitting them and doing visits and people coming to them and them helping them. And so we'll be praying for that. We're going to come back to a time of prayer for that and for other things. But I want to show you where I grew up as a missionary kid. I grew up in the Philippines there in Asia. And this is where my great-grandfather lived as a missionary, the Democratic Republic of Congo in past decades, it was called Zaire. But here's a picture of Edwin Layton. This is from 1901 when he graduated medical college. He was a medical doctor, and so this is when Congo had just been kind of opening up, and so he was going there to meet the needs of people medically, but ultimately his desire was to help them know Christ, and he got to be a part of an amazing movement of Christ on the west side of Congo, and some of you have heard me tell the story before, but it was actually a young boy named Joseph who was crippled. His feet, I don't know if you can tell it from the picture, but if you were here this morning, he was probably one of those children whose feet weren't able to be fixed when he was younger, and so he was never able to walk. He had to be carried around in this hammock, but he, as my great-grandfather was trying to break through with the gospel, this was someone who he probably wouldn't have expected this young guy to be used of the Lord to start a revival and a movement to Christ in that part of Bolenge. But it was actually this boy was the first convert, and he became so excited as he began to learn these things, and he was just taking everything in through the missionaries, and they were having a hard time connecting with the people. But this boy was the one, when he came to know Christ, the Lord used him in a mighty way to go to his people and to tell them they had to carry him. But he started coming to the meetings, sharing his testimony, and he was able to break through in ways that the white men were not able to. And the Lord used this special boy here in a very, very special way to bring the gospel to that part of Congo. And it was just an obvious work of God. My great-grandfather was having people coming to him and asking him questions. And there was one time a whole tribe from another area had come, and they wanted to hear about this message that they had been hearing about. And former cannibals and witch doctors were coming to know Christ, and it was an amazing thing. But it all started with Joseph, who was probably seen as least in the eyes of his world, but Christ got a hold of him, and he was used in great and mighty ways. And so the ministry there that I went to be a part of on my trip just a month ago was Compassion for Congo, and you see on the bylines there at the top, Exalting Christ and Embracing Congo. And this is a picture from the last time I was in Congo. It's a picture of a little guy who's near and dear to me and is part of my family. But this is the first day when I met him. And here's a verse that just kind of stood out to me in that time. Hosea 14, verse 3, "To the work of our hands, in you the orphan finds mercy." Or, "In you the fatherless finds compassion." And that's a part of what Compassion for Congo has been doing for a number of years now, has been taking care of children and bringing them into the Kitumani Children's Home, and in some cases bringing them into families here in America. This is what Jesus said in John 14, "I will not leave you as," he's speaking spiritually, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. My Father will love him," he's speaking of the one that he's adopting into his family, "and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is what Jesus is describing as he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's not going to leave his people as orphans. He's going to come to them. And when he comes back from the dead, he says to them, he says to Mary, "Go tell my brothers." They've now been adopted because of what he did on the cross. And so adoption is a picture of the gospel. And I've talked about that before, but I want to talk about my most recent trip here. But here's that verse in the guest house that Michael actually read earlier. The king will answer, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it, even to the least of them, you did it to me. And so this is on the wall there, kind of as a reminder. And talking there about taking in strangers and feeding, caring for the needy, doing it unto Christ. And this is a little sign over the door. Every time I would leave the guest house while I was on my trip, if you can read that, it says, why? Jesus is worthy. And so that was just a great reminder that why are we here? Why are we doing this? It's because Jesus is worthy. And when we were in the community, I actually, in God's providence, was at a restaurant where there were the staff were hearing impaired and deaf. I saw them kind of signing with each other, and I signed to them, and they were surprised. They'd probably never seen a white person doing sign language with them, so I was able I could actually communicate with them better than anyone else in town because I knew a little bit of sign language. But they were just so, their faces just lit up, and I started, I asked them, do you know Christ, and do you have a church? And they said yes, and I couldn't understand some of what they were saying. Their sign language is a little different, but they wrote down they were a part of a deaf church in town. It was just so exciting and so encouraging, and God's providence. And I got to learn a little bit of sign language years ago. I've never really gotten to use it here in El Dorado County, but I got to use it in Congo, of all places. Here's some orphans from the village, Mufunga. This is one of the outreaches of Compassion for Congo. And here is at the compound there. This is one of the days where they had a lot of kids there. There's a lot of kids that come between the various churches, and you get an idea of some of their faces. And this little girl, I don't know if it shows real well in the video, but she just kept looking at me, and I just had to take her picture. No other reason it's in the show except for that. But and then here's some of the other. These are just kids in the community, and they just wanted to come and pose for pictures. And then I would show it to them, and they would erupt with laughter, thinking it was the greatest thing ever. And then here's some other just sweet, cute little kids. Here's the kids from the Kitumani Children's Home, and they wanted to sing a little song for you. So I'm going to see if this actually works, and we can play this for you. Probably can't hear that real well. But they're singing, they want to go to heaven. It's from Hebrews where they say, we need sanctification to see the Lord. Just a beautiful sound of the little kids singing in the orphanage there. And then here's one of them also singing in the church service. And that song was actually written by one of DDA's daughters, and it was set to music by one of his sons. And so music definitely runs in their family. 1 Peter 5:6 tells us to be humble. And verse 9 says we're to be mindful of the sufferings of our brothers and sisters around the world. It's just good reminders when you're in the Democratic Republic of Congo or many other parts of the world that are like that. Here is a typical house like you would see all around town on the outside. Here's a typical house on the inside. There's a small little kitchen in the corner. There's a family of nine that sleeps in this house. The women there work very hard. Some of the men do too. But they were an example to us of living out this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I saw that lived out, believers seeking to rejoice and pray without ceasing and giving thanks. Giving thanks, I think, in ways that put some of us Americans to shame. Here's a passage I saw DDA and his wife Annie live out every day. 1 Peter 4:9. Let's read this together. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I saw them live that out, and it was, here's a conviction for us Americans. Let's read this together. Do everything without complaining. Let's read that again. Do everything without complaining. I'll tell you that verse kind of stands out more when you've been living in a different environment like that, and then you come back to America and you hear the way that Americans complain, the ways that I have complained more often than I should. It's just, this is a command for us. Do everything without complaining. But we need to see that we have no reason to be complaining. We need to not just see how blessed we are. We need to see why are we blessed. Here's what Psalm 67 says. Let's read this together. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. So if God has blessed us, that's not to end with us, and God has blessed us as Americans, but he doesn't just bless us for our sake. This was Israel saying, God has not just blessed us for our sake. He's blessed us so that the nations, that the ends of the earth, that the message can go forth from us to them, that God's way would be known on the earth to all nations, that his salvation would go forth. When God blesses us, it's for that blessing also to flow through us to others. And so we need to not just realize that we're blessed, but why we're blessed. And we need to share that blessing for the sake of the gospel, for Christ among the nations. And so just, I mentioned some of these before, and I could tell you stories about any of these bullet points if you want to hear them afterwards, but people's hunger for the Word of God just really stood out to me on this trip. I mean, we're talking literally, they're sitting there listening for 3 hours plus straight, and I'm getting tired, and they're not getting tired. They're hungry. They're hearing the Word of God. They're hungry. They're desiring it. And it was like Nehemiah chapter 8, bring the book. And as the book was read and it was understood, there was great rejoicing. And you could see it on you could even see it on people's faces. And God's faithfulness also outside of my comfort zone. There was a lot of firsts, a lot of things I wasn't sure. Just as Michael was sharing, I wasn't sure how this was going to go. All we had was a name and an address going to the home. And it's the wrong kid and all these different things. I had a lot of those types of experiences, but God was just faithful and met me each step of the way, even though when I would have much rather known what the next two or three steps would be. He was just faithful to keep me out of my comfort zone and keep me reliant on him, and for God to give strength through my weakness. It was actually through weakness that I found strength, not through my own strength on this trip. And even when I was incredibly physically weak and sick, Christ's strength was very prominent, and God's mercies were new every morning. I knew that, but I experienced that in fresh ways. And God's provision for every need, I could share a number of stories. God's providential care over all things, and I wrote a lot of this on the blog there, and you could look at some of those, or I'd be happy to share some of those with you later. But I want to, as we kind of transition now to time of worship and prayer for missions, I want to just remind us when we talk about worship, and there's different ways it's done, but here's some of the things Scripture calls for in Psalm 150: trumpet, strings, pipe, flute, cymbal. There's timbrels. We see Miriam in Exodus took a hand drum in her hand, and all the women went after her with hand drums or timbrels and with dances. Psalm 81, raise a song, strike the timbrel. In Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you peoples, that's the nations, shout to God with loud songs of joy. And in Psalm 134, in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the sanctuary, bless the Lord. These are some of the commands in the Old Testament worship book. And I want to show you and just give you a little taste of how some of our brothers and sisters apply these commands of Scripture in the church in Congo. This is from a weeknight worship time and prayer meeting from my first trip there, and if you actually look close, you might recognize a little kid as part of this. And here's that And one guy was waving his arms. You got to kind of duck sometimes because he's kind of going around waving his arms. But it's a little different than what we're used to, but it was a joyful time to be a part of that. And so the last day, and really worship there is a celebration. You see these decorations here. It almost reminded me of when we were in Mexico, the Christmas party, the way they decorated for this celebration of the three churches on the last day. And I want to share a little bit of what they shared by way of music that last Sunday. Right, and then this was a kind of a song at the end of the teaching time, one of the last days. I asked DDA what the words meant. He said, "Oh, this is a song we sing when it's been a very good word we've heard from the Lord, and we just want to thank Him, and we want this word to be a part of our life." He says, "This is in Swahili." That's kind of what they're saying here. That gives you a little taste. Here's some of the pastors, the men that I was involved with in training. Some of those men are pastors of the various churches. These are some of the young men the Lord is raising up. This was a family. This is a police colonel and his wife who started coming to the sessions, and he was one who actually, as he's learning these things that I was teaching on the five solas, I was teaching on the family, and he's taking notes on his something, and then he's sending out notes by WhatsApp to all the people that he works with in the police force, and it's just amazing how the Lord in His providence. He was just coming to help us out, give us rides, and he stayed. He invited his wife, and now actually he might be coming to their church. But it's just amazing how the Lord would use technology like that. The young people know what WhatsApp is. It's a media platform on phones. But this is his family, his sweet kids, and they gave me a wonderful gift. This is a guy who helped out with music named Frank. He's also Paciens. This is a young guy who just loves the Lord, maybe, Lord willing, one of their future leaders in training, maybe a pastor someday. Here's another young pastor named Gustav. Just had a sweet connection with this guy. This is a guy named Marie Etienne. He actually was involved bringing some of the children into the orphanage who came to America. This is Pastor Mickey and his boys. He was the translator into Swahili. These two boys on your right here actually all four of these young men just love the Lord so much. And this wife here in the middle, her husband was saved from a cult just a year ago, and he's there kind of in the back. It's kind of a leopard style shirt, and that's her next to me. They're presenting a gift to me at the end of it. And here's them just waving as we come to our time of prayer now. They're waving to you guys, thanking you. They're expressing how appreciative they are of the church here. And so here's just a little clip of them waving for you guys. That's what Swahili sounds like, if you ever wondered. So there's the rest of Psalm 67. I read the end of it, but I want to transition now to a time of prayer. And here's the prayer request for the Peppers and their Wheels for the World team. And so let me go ahead and pray for these, and then I want to give us, in the time we have, take some time to pray. If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. Maybe we can try and get a handout to you. Maybe we have some extras. But let me go ahead while we're doing that and pray for what you see here on the screen for the Peppers team. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing all around the world. And Lord, we ask that you would, this very day, the Lord's Day, that you would be even though it may be a day ahead now in their time, that you would be working through the Wheels for the World team, that you would give them unity so that they would honor God and His gospel, that you would continue to bless them with mercies as they travel, and safety and health and luggage as they move between countries. And we think of Charlie, last I heard, a mechanic and musician whose back had been pulled out. We ask that you would heal him so that he can have the strength to serve on their trip. And they've asked for prayer for divine appointments for those they meet. And as they minister physically, Lord, that you would open up doors for spiritual ministry also. And in some cases, these are Muslim peoples who maybe have never interacted up close with a Christian before, and that they would see the love of Christ. And as they ask for prayer also, nothing would hinder people from getting to distributions, and that all they do and say, that they would be gracious in communicating the grace of heaven. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so here's what we're going to do in our last time here together. What you see is, this is actually also on the back wall there. We've got all the missionaries and their prayer cards if you want to get their cards to also remind you to pray for them. But we're just going to take some time to pray for some of our missionaries. And on your sheet there, we're just going to go in order. And what we're going to do is, if I can ask for, instead of going around and sharing prayer requests this time, we're going to ask for volunteers of people who are willing to pray and just go right into prayer for the name that we have here. So for Bob and Sharon Hiltz, do we have microphones ready? Could we get a microphone going around? I've got one up here. Corey, you want to pray for Bob and Sharon Hiltz?
He'll be speaking soon at a men's conference in Mongolia. We do pray that you'd help him in his preparations. Help him as he's studying your word to be a blessing, Lord, to explain truth about what it means to be a man who loves God, who models Christ-likeness. We can only imagine what he'd be speaking of there, any number of things related to what it looks like to follow Christ as a father, as a husband, as a leader in the church, as a worker. So we pray you'd help him with that, O Lord, and we thank you and we bless you for hundreds of new converts. It's amazing to read that in a place like Mongolia, there are hundreds of people coming to know Christ. And so we rejoice and we pray for them that they would be wrapped into the life of the churches there and that you would be sanctifying them and growing them. And Lord, we do pray for Sharon, who's struggling with sickness, nausea every time she is eating, and just ask, Lord, that you'd be with them in this time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Excellent job there, Corey, with the baby and the paper and everything. That was a great, passed his first test. So, just for those of you that don't know, Sharon, just by what it says there, a number, letter C, she is battling cancer just a few hours south of us. And my family got to see her this summer, but it seems like she's taken a turn for the worse. So we want to continue to uplift Sharon. So the next one on the list is Compassion for Congo. And so if you, just looking at your paper there, would be moved to pray for the Compassion for Congo ministry, would you raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you? All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and we just lift up the ministry of Compassion for Congo and the things that are going on there, God, just for the families that have been in wait. I just pray for them especially that you would, your grace would be with them, that they would sense your presence and in this time of waiting that has gone on for years. I just pray that you would not let them lose heart. And for the orphans that are at the orphanage right now, Lord, I just pray for them and the opportunities that are there within the orphanage. And God, I just also just want to lift up the needs that are there for Compassion for Congo, as they've been having a lot of financial needs. I just pray that you would raise up people to give towards this ministry, that you would use it in a mighty way to continue to minister to those in Lubumbashi and the churches that they serve. And we just lift this up to you now. We just pray that you continue to use it as a mighty work for the display of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, and let me, as we're doing this, just encourage you, whether young people or any of us at any age, as others are praying, and one of the reasons we gave you the sheet here is so that you can be in your spirit affirming and praying, and it's okay to even say amen along with it as we're praying. I mean, if they lift up their hands, it's in Congo, it's surely okay for us to say amen or make a noise or just kind of be engaged in some way. And even as we pray, sometimes we need to discipline our minds. And so I would encourage you as we this next prayer here to be engaged, be praying along with, not just listening to someone else pray, but actually be praying in your spirit in whatever way you would be moved to do that. But let's pray. Number three is DDA Makochi. So there's Compassion for Congo Ministry. Pastor DDA is the pastor who I stayed with there and who is involved in that ministry. Who would like to pray for Pastor DDA and what we have here on the sheet and in front of us? Would you want to do that, Bob? Would you be willing to do it? All right, Bob. Bob Wheatley. Bob has been involved with this ministry for a number of years, and thank you, brother.
Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your goodness and your mercy, and we thank you for your great grace. And as I look at the pictures, I'm almost moved to tears. Thank you for every child who's been touched. Thank you particularly for those who have come out, those who've been placed in Christian homes. We rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Dave and Joyce Owen are among us here at the church. Dave has been battling many health issues. Since that picture there in the upper right, his hair has actually grown back. He's got... the Lord has been blessing him. He's still got needs a lot of prayer. He's still got a long ways to go. Praying ultimately for the future and their ministry as they're waiting. But you have some requests that we can be praying for Dave and Joyce and encouraging them. Who's got it? All right, brother.
Our precious Lord and Savior, here we are another time lifting up dear brother and sister Dave and Joyce. And Father, they've been through so much in the last couple of years. And they're at a place in their lives right now, Father, where, the medical insurance, some of the issues haven't been solved and how that's going to end up for them. They don't know exactly where they're going to live long term, Lord, and they don't know exactly how they're going to serve you. There's a lot of things that they're trying to work through and waiting for your guidance, Lord. And we just so appreciate so much the dedication of many, many years in Micronesia serving there. And the last position that Dave had was as the president of the university. And I myself have been there and worked with them. And it was amazing to see their dedication to that work and those people. And they love you, Lord, and I know that. And so, Father, I just lift them up to you, and I pray for thy will to be done in their lives. Your will is perfect. We can ask a lot of things, but Lord, your will is perfect, and we lift them up to you and pray for thy will to be done. And it's in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll just do a couple more. Scott and Ruthie Clark and Seth Johnston. Scott and Ruthie are the parents of Carissa, who's with us here today, and I thought it might actually be good, Carissa, if you would just share a praise in terms of the Ajamia Bible. Did I say that right? some people aren't aware of that. The missions group knows, but maybe you could share a little bit about that, and then we'll ask someone to pray.
So we had the opportunity in May to be there for the dedication of the first full Bible in the Fofolde language in the Ajamia script. So just like you can write French and Spanish and English all with the same letters, Arabic script or the letters of Arabic can be used to write other languages. And this is only the second full Bible in the world that's a non-Arabic language that's been put into the Arabic script. And so it's a big breakthrough, both with the translation work, but also with the software and the printing that they did in Korea to do all of this Arabic script that they couldn't read. So it was a huge answer to prayer, and we have about 7,000 Bibles now in Cameroon, and that's only possible through the work of support of churches like this that have given, and we're so thankful to see that. And my parents hope to go back in November. They've already got tickets to go back, but as we shared this morning with the instability in Cameroon, they really don't know for sure that they will be able to go. But there's 1,000 Bibles sitting in a sea container that are purchased and ready to distribute. And so they really have a sense of urgency. Let's get back there and get these Bibles out to people.
Yeah, that's great. And so as we pray for them, if you have a desire to be to pray or support them, or also Oliver and Carissa, our missions giving this month through that box in the back, any of that giving that's for their name will go towards some of their extra expenses while they're here and furlough. And but who would like to pray for the Clarks in particular at this moment? And then we'll just do one more. We'll pray for Seth. So you can be thinking who'd like to pray for Seth. All right. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we think of Scott and Ruthie Clark and just ask that you would bless the distribution of your word as it goes out to those who need it the most, and ask that you would help that to, as you promised, not return void, and that it would reap a harvest in a world that desperately needs it. We'd ask that you would help them with the logistics of planning their trip and their travel and the expenses, and we just ask that you would bless those efforts and help us here to be faithful to uplift these missionaries who are who we are committed to support. And prayer is a huge component of that. Help us to be faithful to uplift them in our prayers and in our thoughts. And we ask that you would be with them just in their day-to-day life, their struggles, the spiritual battles that they're confronted with, and the challenges that they have to continue to minister to those around them, to minister to each other, to grow together in Christ, grow together in your likeness, and to be an example through their life to those around them. And all these things, amen.
Amen. I meant to show this slide earlier, but that's the Bible on the bottom right, correct? And then is the left picture on the left a celebration of the dedication? Yeah, so that's just wonderful to see. And then we'll close. This will be our last prayer for this evening. But what I would encourage you guys to do is take these. Don't just set these aside. Take these home with you and take some time this week to pray through these. But who would like to? This will be our last prayer. This will actually close out our service. Bob, that would be great. Thanks, brother.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for how you have worked in Seth's life and the tribe that Seth works with in Southeast Asia as he wraps up his second tour with Wycliffe and Bible translation and developing stories for the people to learn about the gospel. We pray that everything would go efficiently and to your honor. Thank you, Father, for the administrative details that you worked out. And Lord, Seth also asked for wisdom for the furlough that begins on the 21st of November, as to how he uses his time to be restored and encouraged and refreshed, and also opportunities to learn more skills to help the people that he serves. Father, I pray also for his team members that will be left behind, that you, well, they still need to be a part of this last workshop, that you would keep them healthy and bring them safely to where the workshop is, and that it might be a profitable time for them. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. If you guys want to stand up, we're going to sing the doxology together. You going to lead us? All right.